The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Listen, everybody. Doug, he's a total dick. I'm just going to, you know, point out the obvious. This sale is coming to a close.
Dude, you're picking on him way too much.
No. He's not really a dick. But everybody, you got to go purchase this bundle while it lasts. April 6th, it's over. Get it now!
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome back to Mind Pump. This is Adam Schaefer, Sal DiStefano, and Justin Andrews.
Yeah.
The three smartest and dumb guys you will ever meet.
Smartest and dumb.
Smartest dumb guys.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if we put us in concept. A room with a bunch of really stupid people, we would probably be the smartest. Smartest in a room full of dumb people.
Of the dumb guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay. I feel good about that.
I feel pretty confident about that.
I feel good about that.
I'll take it.
I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there dumber than us.
Yeah. There's at least three people.
It's gotta be.
There's maybe three, four people out there that are. Yeah. Adam.
Ooh.
Adam, was that like a few weeks ago? You went to the Sacramento.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks. About a week. Not this last weekend. I was in Vegas. Weekend before that.
Yeah, because we have a lot of people that ask us, that are in the competitive world, the physique competitive world, and they want to know more details about that. And
I love talking about this because it's like foreign language to you guys. It's like
But me and Justin,
we just look at you like with our eyes all in the headlights, like dude.
You guys only knew how little they care about this stuff, man. I twist their arms. I know there's listeners out there that like to hear about this and that are inspired to become an athlete.
I just want to know, like, back pose, like, who had the tightest.
Stupid. So full of shit, bro.
Tell us about this. So, first of all, going to this, was it a fitness convention or was it just... Because I've been to, like, the Arnold Classic and these big, conventions with lots of supplements.
Okay,
and,
typically they have, this was not a convention, although almost all shows now have turned into like, I don't want to say a mini convention, but they all have got tons of booths and things that are out there.
So this one did that.
They all will now. They all now, it's crazy. I mean, I've been around this now. I mean, I've been in it for 2 years now, and I've been around the circuit and the whole bodybuilding world for, I don't know, about 8-10 years. I've been going, sporadically, and it's crazy to what it's grown to. I mean, when I first went to my first bodybuilding show like 8 years ago, it was held in like a high school theater.
Yeah.
And there was like 15 people that were watching, and 10 of them were family and friends, it just wasn't cool, it wasn't cool, and not a lot of people were into it, very few competitors. A lot of times you could do a show and guarantee yourself a trophy because there wasn't even five people in your class.
Oh, find me that competition. I'll do that one.
So, and now it's crazy. There's anywhere between 500 to 800 athletes that are competing.
Wow.
There's thousands of people that are there, and there's all kinds of booths that are up that are promoting all their different supplements and bars and shakes and t-shirts and all kinds of gadgets and fun stuff like that. So, they're actually become a little bit cooler to go to, and this was actually my first show as a pro going to watch an amateur and a pro show. So this is my first time doing that since I went pro. So it was pretty cool.
So did people immediately recognize you as being like a pro?
We're gonna put you on the spot.
We love to hear Adam. God.
You know what? Because we were invited to go, but because me and you have families and shit like that, it's very hard to just take off.
Because you guys have important stuff to do. Go ahead and say it, Dick.
Yeah.
because we have important things to do, like family and kids.
No, I'm gonna put you on the spot because I know you're embarrassed. I know you get embarrassed talking about this, but you did tell us that people were recognizing you. You said a lot of people had been listening to the show and had recognized you from the show. Like, what was that? What was that all about? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this is the part. I don't know how well I handle all this. I'm not that guy. Like, as much as I'm outgoing and personable and I love that, and I'd be lying if I said I don't enjoy positive attention. Who doesn't? You'd be a liar to say you don't.
Sure.
But it's a little different. It's a little weird for me for people to ask for autographs and take pictures and to wait in line to talk to me over it. And this was probably the most I'd experienced that. I get it here and I got it when I was in some people noticed me out at the pool and inside the club when I was in Vegas and things like that. And, that's whatever, but this was I actually had people standing, waiting, one person would be talking to me for 10 minutes and there'd be two, three other people just wait, they'd stand there for 20 minutes, wait just to, yeah. And I'm like, damn, that's a little weird. I would never do that, but it was cool though. I truly try and, spend time and I really appreciate it. I got nothing but love for everybody that's like that. And I love to talk to people and hear their story and, what inspires them and why they're doing what they're doing. And a lot of people have good questions and
are they fitness related questions or are they more just regular? I mean,
yeah, it's not I don't feel like a freaking rock star or a movie star celebrity status. It's like, oh my God, it's not like that. It's they want to pry and knowledge. They want to hear the knowledge, which I enjoy that. I think, the stardom feeling or feeling like that would be really, really weird. At least these people want to ask me questions about, how I train and how I diet and my opinion on this. And a lot of times they just want me to look at them and be like, hey, could you give me your critique and tell me what I could work on or tell me, what you think about my posing and things like that. So I enjoy that. I like that. I think, it's cool. And, I appreciate it. I feel like I got a lot of help from people that I knew around me that spent time that, were pros and people like that, so I feel like I want to give back. And, that's the main reason why I went there. I didn't go there. Like I said, I wasn't competing. It was my first time watching a show and it was just to kind of mingle. And
did anybody really impress you? Any physiques on the stage that really kind of stood out?
Well, I mean, my buddy who won the show, he looked phenomenal. His conditioning, James Hurst.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Obey the Bolt.
Yeah, I've been watching him. He looked impressive.
Yeah, this is, I asked him, I forgot what it was too. I said, man, how many shows you done now? And he's I want to say 30 something shows.
Wow.
He's done a lot.
Hitting them.
Yeah, dude. So he's a monster. He has been. And for the last, I think 4 years, he just boom, 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 show after show after show. So, each time he's making a subtle improvement. And it's hard to do that. When you get, one of the things I'm struggling with right now, since it's not my only thing that I do, that I do so many other things that, going to Vegas this last weekend and here I am in middle of prep mode. Once you get to the professional level, there's not a lot of room for error and setbacks. I mean,
it's another world.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. To keep progressing the body when you get to that level, when you're talking about all of us are, getting on stage at 2%, 3% body fat and, pretty damn symmetrical. It's hard to show them judges each time you get up there. Hey, I'm a better me this time. Hey, I'm a better me. And they look for that. They want to see progression, and I feel like they reward people for it, which is also why I think he won the show. I think that he's continued to progress his physique. He had extremely great aesthetics. He's got great stage presence. Super happy to see him win. I thought he did phenomenal. I think there's so many different body types, so it's hard to judge.
Was there any guys you ever see those memes where there's one guy that's all white?
Yeah, why the hell did he show
even
up?
Work out? Does that even happen in real life? Or is that just
at the amateur level? Absolutely,
meme.
Absolutely. At the amateur level, it's very common. There's always that guy at the amateur.
Trying to be ironic.
There's always somebody who does something that obviously didn't read the fucking instructions or didn't read.
He's up there in his underwear.
Literally, you've seen people come out with their sneakers, I'm on a marathon on runner or something like that. You're like, what are you doing, bro? Don't you know everyone's barefoot, bro? You're not supposed to have shoes on, right? So you see random things like that, or a girl who comes out and she's wearing she's the standard heel for girls in bikini, or the clear stripper looking heels, And then some girl comes out with colored heels or something different,
you bitch.
So there's always, or a bathing suit that's not
how dare you?
Yeah. Or what you see a lot with the amateur level with athletes is, you get this coaching, right? So a lot of times coaches, I find this is pretty funny to me. So coaches are always trying to tell their athletes, you got to own the stage. It's you're modeling, you're up there, you're working the stage. And so you got to have your own flair and personality when you come there. And so it's kind of fun to watch some people put their flair in.
Put some extra flair.
Yeah, a little extra flair.
Like some Ric Flair out there.
Yeah. some serious Ric Flair out there. So there, at the amateur level, you see a lot of that. The pro level, not so much. The pro level, I feel the most talked about stuff is the politics and that. And that
there
that,
was some shit that went down.
It gets, you know.
The, are you able to talk about any of
that? I don't like to get too much into that shit because, you know, you're talking about it's the league that I'm involved in. And I don't want to get black. So I'll try to be as politically correct. Or
maybe just as vague as possible.
Yeah, I'll be as neutral as I possibly can. But so when you go, you have a show like this. And once again, like I said, all the pros look phenomenal. So it's a very subjectable sport with who is judging you. I mean, and the judges are always, they're not the same 10 judges every single time. And depending if you're in Sacramento or LA or in New York or, you know, you tend to have cliques and you have people that dominate that area. So for, you know, like Sacramento, FBF happens to be like the strong, one of the strongest teams that is there. They're Sacramento based. Normally at a Sacramento show, they bring 40, 50 athletes to that show. Mm-hmm. That's a team.
You know? Oh, okay.
And teams are typically tied
in revenue.
Yes, and they're tied in. So that becomes one of the most like controversial things is that, you know, okay, well, of course this person won or whatever. They're tied to da-da-da, this and that. But I have to say that, you know, that one of the guys who I expected to be top three didn't even place top five, and he's tied into the Sacramento area. So that was pretty wild to see that. And that was probably one of the biggest shockers.
It's got to be so frustrating if you're as a spectator, you're like, that guy's got the best physique. And it's like, you know, he doesn't even get placed.
I think that happens. Like, what? I think that's with any sport that's judged by people.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're in an arm wrestling competition, someone wins, someone loses.
Yeah,
it's obvious.
Like definitive. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, but when you're on, you know, your figure skater, your gymnast, or, you know, you're a physique or bodybuilder, you know, competitor. How many Olympias were controversial because, you know, when Dorian Yates tore his bicep and he won Mr. Olympia still?
Just last two were, I mean, they always are. There's always controversy and it's like, you know, is it, do you want bigger? Do you want leaner?
Well, this makes me ask a question. I got a question for you then because do you, now that we're on this podcast, people are listening to it, it's growing. Do you think that will hurt or help you in competitions?
It sounds
like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22 because of our podcast. Now, if our podcast was like, you know, we talk about all the positive things and we're a bunch of square bears and shit, but
that's not us.
Yeah, since we talk a lot of shit,
my mom calls me square bear.
Yeah, since we talk a lot of shit, we're pretty raw. I don't know if it really helps because you got to. It probably hurts me, to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck though.
Yeah. That's, you know. You know what the problem is? The problem is we enjoy that.
I know. Yeah. We're like, yeah.
I mean, come on, you guys know that. I mean, we love to hate Adam. It was created a long time ago, and there's a reason for it. That's just that it's been my personality forever. It's most certainly I don't give a shit what they think of me or what like that. I mean, I would hope that they would respect what I do, and I would get love for that. But at the same time, too. If I'm not plugging and I'm not playing the political game and stuff like that, then, you know, maybe I'm not their favorite athlete or whatever, you know. But yeah, it's hard to say. I guess we'll really see when I start cranking out a few. I plan to hop in a show real soon here. So when I do, you know, we'll see if I get last place.
would be a sign.
I promise you guys, I won't bring a last place physique. I'll tell you that right now. So
are we going to be allowed backstage?
Oh, I did. No, you guys can't come back this
time. What?
No, dude, you guys gotta have.
Even if we got the tanning.
We're your boys.
Well,
what the fuck?
You guys can come.
Can you give us a shirt that's like these guys?
I'm allowed one person who fixes my drawers and then one person who tans me up. So which one of you wants to do
that? I'm on the drawers.
I'll do the tanning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you actually have to touch him. I gotta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll write my name on your back. Nobody, you won't even know. They'll turn around and be like,
he's something with a big cock.
Sal DiStefano.
It'll say Sal's bitch.
Damn it.
What is it like backstage? That's always tripped me out. Like, what's happening back there?
Well, you know, my
you guys are all pumping up.
Yeah, the first show, it's very.
Have you ever high fived the guy like back there? You know, without any clothes on. Because that's
with no hands.
First of all, we're not.
That means something.
We're never naked. Okay, the only time we're naked is if you happen to go to a place like I told you my first experience of spray tanning.
Yeah, and, I thought you said that
doesn't
always happen.
That doesn't happen. Oh. Yeah, that did happen. But it doesn't happen all the time. I happen to use a
only if you're lucky.
Yeah,
that's a difference.
Because it's such a fast growing sport, just like any company or business that we've all been a part of, like that. It's got a lot of growing pains. So there's a lot of you know, each show, every venue I go to, I feel like different promoters do a better job of putting it on and expediting it. So, you know, you go to a show, it's your first time, backstage is very nerve-wracking and weird because there's so much going on, it's so fast, and you're not sure when you're going to get on stage, and you're trying to time everything. This is the food, nutrient, water game leading up to getting on stage, the peaking your body at that right moment from a pump standpoint and nutritionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a very much so I'm trying to be scientific about it, and it's tough to be scientific when you have no idea when you're gonna get out there. And there's been times I've been backstage and they're like,
oh, what? So I didn't even know. So you're back there and you're like, I could go up in 20 minutes. Oh, I could go up in an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, even worse.
How the fuck do you pump up for that?
Even worse. There's been times where I'm like told that, okay, we're going to be on stage at, you know, 11 a.m. So I'm like, okay, doing the math on my meals. Okay, I want 3 meals in me. I want X amount of carbs. I want this much water by this time so that I got my full muscle bellies. And then I'm going to get right before I hit stage, 5 minutes before I get my nice pump and boom, I'm going to look great, right? Well, it never plays out like that.
Oh.
Normally they're like an hour, 2 hours behind. And when you get back there, it's like there's always some you know, somebody fucks something up, you know, up there. And it's normally an athlete who forgets his number or doesn't do this or whatever that, and it causes everything to get pushed back. And then these guys are in the room and you're just like standing around, you're waiting, you know. And for someone like me, and everyone's different, right? So, and I know athletes can relate. Some athletes can relate to me. Some are like, don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But I flatten out really fast. My metabolism's so fast that, you know, I could eat, you know, 400 or 500 calories real quick, load up 75 grams of carbohydrates, boom, fill out, look great. And then all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, it's starting to come out. It's time for me to feed back again. So trying to time that sometimes is a bitch. I still to this day do not think I have even come close to bringing the best looking me on stage. Like, I don't think the judges have ever seen my physique the way I've looked sometimes on just a normal day after a workout, after eating right and having the right amount of water and a great pump. Like, it's very difficult to time
that. What kind of equipment is backstage for?
Nothing.
They don't give you anything to pump up
nothing.
With?
Nothing.
Not even like bands or anything?
You bring bands or, and sometimes, some places, I should say, do have some stuff laying around, but very rarely. You can't expect that. You normally want to bring some really light dumbbells or some bands for yourself and get pumped up. It's not like what we see, like if you watch like Pumping Iron or Olympia, like when you get to the Olympia stage, when you get to that level, you know, they normally have like a nice little section that's like a little tiny little mini gym and everybody can kind of get a little pump up. But it's a very small room, and there's normally like one or it sucks too, because if you're the first guy in there, he goes and grabs the weight that maybe you want to use, mm-hmm. or the one bar there, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's
people dicks in the back?
No, I've talked about this before. This sport, and all the sports that I've played in, I know Craig always gives me shit for calling this a sport. Fuck you, Craig, if you're listening. So, you know, it's just a habit. I have a habit of calling it a sport, and I know it doesn't take this. It's a different type of athleticism that it takes, I guess. But, you know, it is the only sport I've ever competed in where I feel like there's a lot of love. You know, there's a lot of guys are like
loving each other.
Well. Not like that. I feel like that
tanning,
a lot of
rubbing. And
it's just it's
hugging.
It's something that it's a
wrestling?
Journey. It's a journey you go on all by yourself. You are you're even though you're competing against others, you're really
we're with you, bro. We're with you.
You're really competing against yourselves, and there's you know you get this respect for every guy because you know that he went through whether he looks great or not or if you whether
because you physically feel like you're depleted you feel like totally like
well actually when you hit stage you're not that everyone
oh that's right because
you've been
refed,
you've been loading for 2 days so I mean I'm pretty good energy wise gotcha. I'm a little dehydrated so I'm thirsty for sure but for the most part guys back there it's you know and some guys are nervous you know to get out there the first time I got on stage and I'm not a guy who gets nervous I got no problem public speaking and doing things like that but showcasing my physique's a little bit different as much as I put on this facade that I'm like you know this self-indulged wiener I'm really not this guy who's like I'm not really into all that, you know. That's not my thing.
You're just a wiener, but you're not the self-indulged.
just a wiener. That's all. So it's you know, it's a little different. It's not, I'm not, I've never thought of myself as a model or even considered myself like that. So, you know, to get out, and some guys love that. They just eat that up. They just can't
blue steam. Oh, it everywhere. Yeah,
they just can't wait to show all their angles and do all their facial expressions and their, you know, and like for me, I personally, I think I'm
those are the same ones that have like highlights in their hair and shit.
Oh, yeah, there's, I mean, and yeah, let's be honest. I mean, so the guy who I thought would win it all, you know, he took second to James, and he's a new pro. And he's just gorgeous. I mean, he's got the all American look, and he'll for sure be at sooner or later.
That's a good. I'm glad you brought that up. Does,
man, candy.
Yeah, does. So obviously they're looking at your physique, but does your face make a difference?
You right? know, no one is going to say this. Okay, this is what's great about Mind Pump. You can come here, and I will tell you the truth. No one's going to say this.
I remember you telling me this.
But and the judges obviously can't. If you go back after a show and you like lost, and you're like, hey, what can I work on? Right? And they're not going to be like,
don't be so
stop
ugly.
Stop being fugly, McGee.
Yeah, they're going to tell you the other stuff, right? But I'm going to just tell you what it is. If you're fucking ugly, you're going to have a rough time in this sport. I mean, let's just be honest. It's not, I mean, why that is, and you're a fool to think otherwise, you know, because you're like, oh, it's not fair. It's about our physique. It's like, no, bro, it's about how you look all together, the whole package, because these ultimately, these athletes are being sold to companies that are going to these people are going to represent them. Yeah. You
can't be ugly and sell supplements.
Yeah, you can't be in the face of a men's health magazine and nobody wants to fuck you. That's just not you're not going to, men's health is not going to put you on there if they can't sell any magazines.
So in other words, if you want to be a champion physique competitor, you have to look, you have to, some people have to want to
you
fuck
can't
you.
Be a butterface.
Well, have to is a very strong word, and I would never want to say that and deter you if you're going like, fuck, I'm ugly. I shouldn't even work out. You know,
damn,
like,
well, I mean, someone wants to fuck
ugly.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but like if you're ugly and you want to like
and
improve,
a,
like,
yeah,
what a better way than to get a great
and,
physique?
And there's
right?
there's a lot of ways that you can make yourself look better and stuff like that. Like paint, and this is, you know, hey, it's like a beauty pageant, bro. I mean, if you go up there with sloppy hair, you're not taking care of the way you're, if your haircut's not, and I think this matters too. So all these things add up. So if you have, I totally think of a buddy of mine who, here we are in our mid 30s and he has the same haircut he had when we were in high school. You know, it's like, bro,
high and tight.
How dare he?
It's like, no, bowl cut, bro. You know, like it's, uh-oh. You know, it's just like, sweet. They tend to, once again, you know, you think from a marketing standpoint, you're going to want someone who's hip and trendy. What are the latest do's? What are the latest haircuts and styles and looks and how you represent it? All the way down from the styles of your shorts. So if you're rocking some brand like No Fear, which was cool back in the late 90s, you know what I'm saying? For board shorts, you're
going to, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So like
Jenko jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'd love to see you go on stage with some Jankos.
You guys laugh, but this is really good information that a lot of people don't get a chance to tell these athletes is that, hey, you guys should look into shit like
research,
this.
Man.
Yeah, you should get into what are the hottest trends and hips from hairstyles to the look and the fit. And, you know, and I think it's something that you should think about. You know, you asked earlier about, do I think like, will Mind Pump hurt, you know, how I get placed? I don't know. But I do think like my Instagram and my social media and how I represent myself, like, you know, am I somebody, I try not to look like the old guy, you know, I'm the older guy in my 30s and stuff like that. So I got to try and fucking stay young and hip. And I
is
know,
it a young, it's a, it, well, I mean, it is a young
go,
sport.
Don't go rocking the Bieber haircut or something.
Well, I mean, that would do well, is actually. That, it wouldn't do well for me because I don't have very much hair. But I mean, for some, and I, that's probably definitely one of my weakest points, I believe, is one of my weakest points is for sure my hairstyle. And that I'm actually going to, I'll bring a new, every time I brought a new hairstyle. So I'll bring a new hairstyle again this time for sure.
But can't you be like a trendsetter and like come in with a mullet or something?
Well, you
do really well.
Now you can, absolutely. You gotta own that shit. I mean, fuck, there's a lot of
party in the back.
I think you can get some good credit if you pull it off. I think I'm not sure a mullet would be a great way to trend, set a trend. Or
a reverse mohawk.
Yeah, but
it's just a line right in the middle.
So
that'd be amazing.
Doing something that you can be a trendsetter, but you got to own it, man. You're gonna do something different like that. You got to own it. And some guys are really good at that. Some guys are great at their fit. Like so, one of my pet peeves, talking about being a spectator, that it just kills me when I see this. So once again, let me put it out there that I, okay. So for someone who's gonna talk shit after I say this, I think of myself as the worst pro or worst posing pro. Okay. So I know this is one of my, I'm not the strongest because I don't put a lot of focus there. I put a lot on building my physique and that's like my last thing I focus on to get better at my posing. And I'm always trying to get better at it. So that being said, and one thing I try and do is I try and stay true to myself, which is I get on stage, I present my physique, how I would present my physique. But what's very common and very trendy now is these guys, let's take somebody like a Jeremy Buendia, who's Mr. Olympia from this last year. He has kind of like this move when he gets on, when he hits his,
oh, he flares his hands.
Yeah. Well, just, he has like a little flicker with his hands. And, you know, Johnny Sebastian has like his little, his side pose that he turns and he hits that. So the guys have, and Steve Cook has his look and you have,
I'd be doing like guns.
Yeah. And Sadiq has his kind of pose and they all have their like, you know, their swag that they bring to the stage, which is cool because it's theirs. They right. kind of created that swag. And then, but then what happens,
maybe you should do like a whip or something. Like,
yeah. So then what happens is you get all these athletes that are trying to mimic that and it looks terrible because you're trying to be, it looks like you're trying to be them, which is you're better off, you know, taking what you can from other professionals and say, oh, hey, I like that. Or, you know, it looks good. But then learning how to mold to you, because one of the first mistakes someone made with me was trying to teach me how to pose like they pose. Well, mm-hmm. when you're 5'5", okay, and I'm fucking 6'3", the way we showcase our physiques are not going to be the same and it's not going to present the same way. So for me to try and hold my body and my posture the same way you to show the best angles and looks for me is not the same as this little guy. And I think that's a big mistake a lot of coaches make is they kind of coach one way and it's like, this is how, but really it's learning each individual's strength. So you're always trying to highlight your strengths when you're on stage and you're trying to hide your weaknesses. You don't want, if you have a terrible side or maybe you have a certain body part of yours that's lagging, you know, you're trying to disguise
that. Compensate for that.
Yeah. And not a lot of guys get that. And I find it a little comical when I'm watching. And I can always tell when a kid gets out there and he's doing his poses, like, oh, who he's
using too much hands. It's looking jazzy.
Who he's a big fan of. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, he loves this guy. You know.
Well, when you decide which competition you're going to do, I guess we can announce it here, right? What do you think? We let the listeners know.
Oh, yeah,
come
yeah.
support.
Yeah, we'll pump it up.
Come support Adam. And if he doesn't win, just fucking tear the place apart. We'll yeah, riot. We'll, like, yeah. like Canadian hockey fans.
We'll
just,
bum rush
just,
the
yeah,
stage.
We'll just destroy everything.
I have to say, that would be awesome if we got that big to where we could actually influence enough of a crowd where I have like banners and shit.
We'll all tear our shirts off and just swing them over.
Then,
our
you, head. Then you could just show up fat and the judges will make you win because they'll be afraid for their life.
You want me to relax on the stage? I'm out there doing poses and people are on their shoulders. Some girls are flashing their titties while I'm doing that. That's throwing their bras and panties at me. I'm saying, that's fucking, that. Yeah. You want to be a trendsetter? That'd be balling. Different. Nobody's doing that right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So so take a note,
let's
ladies.
Make it happen.
When Adam's competing, titty flashes will help him, will help relax him on stage and make
just
him
just helps him get in the zone. Yeah.
Throw me your panties.
Titty.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.